But every one of us ought to come into this place with the attitude that I'm going to come and worship the Lord. And with the attitude that I'm going to come and praise the Lord. Not with the attitude that I'm going to sit down and see what somebody else can do for me. Now, that might make you mad. Hey, you know what? We're supposed to edify our brothers and sisters. And a lot of times, edifying our brothers and sisters mean that we come in and we praise the Lord. Anybody feel like shouting this morning? Raise your hand if you felt like shouting. Now, let me ask something. Why didn't you? Why didn't you? You might be sitting here, man, I should have got up and said something. Why didn't you? Because I see a brother back here that loves the Lord that would give anything that he had just to be able to stand up and to be able to get out what he feels in his heart. And a lot of times we talk, we don't want to shut up, but we'll come in God's house. He'll tell us to shout. He'll tell us to raise your hand. He'll tell us just to stand up and say, I just want to thank you, Lord. And we'll sit there. Anybody else say, we're on God's time. This ain't my time. This ain't anybody else's time. This is God's time. If you've got something that the Lord's put on your heart, if you want to turn in your Bibles to chapter 4, we'll start in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Our precious and kind Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Dear God, we felt your presence this morning, dear God. We're thankful that your Holy Spirit has come to abide with us, dear God. Father, we pray that you would bless and honor your word this morning, dear God, that it would go out to this congregation, that it would go out to this whole community this morning, dear God. Father, we pray that our brothers and sisters would be lifted up, dear God, that we could be better prepared to go out into the world, dear God, and spread the gospel, Lord. And we pray if there be one here that doesn't know you in the pardon and remission of sin, dear God, we pray that you would deal with them this morning, dear Father. We pray that you would convict them, Lord, and we pray that they would come and accept you before it's everlasting too late. We pray for those who are here this morning, dear God, that are carrying burdens, dear Lord. We pray that they would look to you, Lord, knowing that you can lighten that burden. Help me, Lord, to get out of the way, Lord, that your Holy Spirit could come and do your work, Father. We love you, dear God. We thank you for Jesus. Guide and direct us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought will come this morning. It just takes one. I was told about a month and a half ago that I needed to preach a message on It Just Takes One. And then I kindly explained to my wife how it works. He said, you know, somebody will always come up to you and say, hey, you know what, you really ought to preach a message on this, or you really ought to teach a message on that. And I was like, you know, that's kind of not the way it works. You know, it's kind of, you know, a lot of times I'll sit down with the focus of studying on something and then God just says, no, that's not what you're going to do. But if you ever taught or if you ever preached before, you know, it's God that tells you what to do. But I was thinking about all the people here and all the new converts that we have. And I started thinking about John and Joyce, and when my wife said that, it just takes one. It's like, well, I'm not getting it. Then all of a sudden, you know, God shows you something. I was like, you know, for John and Joyce, it just took one. It took Denisa coming and giving her heart to the Lord, and then because she gave her heart to the Lord, Danny started going to church, and he started, and then he gave his heart to the Lord. So by one person's obedience, we have a brother and a sister in Christ. It just takes one. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, it just takes one. It just takes having enough faith to take that first step. You'll talk to anybody in here who claims Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they'll say, and anybody who's ever walked aisle, I didn't walk aisle. I didn't have to get up off the seat of my truck. Jesus Christ saved me in front of Dunrover. But if you talk to anybody who's ever been saved, they'll tell you, man, that first step is the hardest. Man, just can't make, you know, you hear about people just white knuckling a pew. It's like, and it doesn't matter how many times that you tell somebody who's lost. It's like, man, if you just have enough faith just to take that first step, and you use that faith and say, you know what? That's all the faith that you have to have in Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm going to take this first step. Jesus, I'm going to put enough faith in you to take this first step. And you know what? I know that you'll take care of me every step after that. But the thought will be it just takes one. There's one faith. There's no other faith. People can talk about different faiths of the world all they want to. There's one faith. And that's in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not in Muhammad. It's not in Buddha. It's not in any other religion that people claim to serve. It's in Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given among men whereby ye must, not should, not might, must be saved. And if you're here this morning and you're lost and you're not saved, the only way that you can get saved is by and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You will not get it any other way. But I want you to look at the thought, it just takes one. It just takes one thing, is it just takes one sin. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. If you're in here lost, you might be saying to yourself, you know, I don't understand this whole lost saved deal. I don't understand that. I'm a pretty good person. I've never been thrown in jail. You know? I haven't beat anybody up in a while. I haven't cursed in about a week and a half. I'm a pretty good dude. I'm a pretty good lady. It's not about that. It's not about how good of a person you are or how bad of a person you are. It's what do you do with your sin? And we all have it. Amen? Amen. Brother Don, do you sin? Now, I didn't say that to try to call him out. I didn't say that. But I have a lot of respect for that man. And if I was half as strong of a Christian as what he was, man, the things that I could do for the Lord. But even a man like that, sin. You preach, don't you, Will? You sin? You mean you're a preacher, but you sin. Anybody in here not? So that's the difference. So, well, we've all sinned. Well, what makes one lost? What makes one saved? The same thing that saves you. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's whether or not you have the shed blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life or not. Because if you have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, see, the sacrifice has already been made for your sin this morning, lost. The sacrifice was made 2,000 years ago. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, not only for the sin that I committed 10 years ago, not only for the sin that I committed 5 years ago, but for the sin that I'm going to commit 5 years from now if God lets me live on this earth. For the sin that I'm going to commit 10 years from now if God lets me and blesses me to live on this earth. The sin has already been paid for. The question this morning is, do you want to accept the payment that was made for your sin? Now that is so simple. That is so simple. You go into Walmart and somebody's standing there, hey, what are you here for? I'm here to get groceries. Well, congratulations, your groceries is already paid for. Well, then I don't want none. Can I tell you something this morning? If you're here and you're lost and you walk out that door right there without Jesus Christ, in effect, that's what you've said. Because, man, Jesus Christ stands. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. He's standing here saying, you know what? You got a bill to pay. We all have a bill to pay. We all have a sin debt to pay. And Jesus Christ stands and says, you know what? Son, daughter, I already paid it. Now, the only thing you got to do, if that fellow's standing down there at Walmart saying, hey, you know what, your groceries has already been paid for, the only thing you got to do is say, well, hey, okay, I accept that. Now, who in here would not do that? Because if you're like me, you make 3 or 4 trips a day down there. I'd love it one time if I just walked in and said, hey, what are you here for? Well, this is the third time getting groceries today. Hey, you know what? It's already paid for. Just go pick out what you want. That matter, I don't care how much. You can take everything in the store if you want to. It's been paid for. It does not matter how much you sin or how little you sin. One sin separates you from God, but that sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ. You mean one sin will separate me from God? One. One. And I'll show you that. Look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one sin, sin entered into the world, and so death passed upon all have sinned. What's that mean? That means a long, long, long time ago, God decided that He was going to create man. And He created a man named Adam. And He let Adam go for a little while. Said, it's not good that man be alone. So He caused the sleep to fall over Adam, took out one of his ribs, and He made Eve. And He put them in the perfect conditions to worship God. That's what the Garden of Eden was. I know the Garden of Eden was perfect. I know it was beautiful. I know they never wanted anything. But if you really look at what the Garden of Eden was, it was the perfect condition for man to worship God. Think about God coming down and walking with you in the cool of the day. I mean, think about that part of the day when it gets really hard. When they don't load your truck right. Or when somebody calls and complains to you. Or when they say you messed up their deposit slip. And I sure do need God right now. Man, all of a sudden He comes. Hey, let's go for a little walk. Let's just talk a little bit. Man, I can't imagine that. I'm going to experience it one day, but I can't imagine that. But every day God would come down and walk with Adam in the cool of the day. Perfect conditions. And then Satan comes in. And he tempts him. And he tempts Eve. You know what? God don't have this thing right. If you eat that fruit, man, you'll be just like God. Even though God told him, in the day that you eat of the fruit, ye shall surely die. And so Eve took and ate, and then she gave it to Adam, and he ate. And therefore, the father of man, the first man, sinned. And that sinful nature was passed down to every one of us. Say, well, that ain't fair. If I'd have been in that garden, I'd have done that. Yes, you would have. Don't give me that. I like how people sit around. Well, you know, you see somebody and lost. You know, you probably do this too. You see a Christian and a person who will stand up and say, I love Jesus. And then you put them under a microscope, and then you go out in the community and you look for them to mess up. Even one little thing, you look for a Christian to mess up, and you say, oh, well, that person comes into New Vision Baptist Church, or that person comes into any other church, and they say they love Jesus. Now, look, they said something they shouldn't have, right? They done something that they shouldn't have. And so now, if that person is good enough to get in heaven, then I'm good enough to get in heaven. The only problem is, that's wrong. That measure of faith that He gave me, I use that. And from then on, it wasn't about what I did before, what I do going forward. There's never been one time that I ever regretted saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow You. There's never been one time that I've ever said, man, I wished I hadn't been saved. There's never been one time where I said, man, it's a real bad thing that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to miss out on hell. I've never said that one time. Because the first time I used that measure of faith. And all it took was one act of faith through one Savior. If you read in John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by Me. You know, thee is a pretty important word. Because if you would take the out of there and put the letter A, man. You can get to Jesus, you can get to heaven any way you want to. But that's not what it said. It didn't say I am a way, a truth, and a life. It says I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you will not come to God except by Jesus Christ. You might think that you can start cleaning yourself up and that you can live a little bit better and that'll do it. That won't do it. You might say, I'll stop cursing and that'll do it. That won't do it. You have to have something that takes your sins away. And the only thing that does that is the blood of Jesus Christ. It takes one sin to separate you from God. But you know what? It only takes one Savior. There is only one. And that's Jesus Christ. Say, you sure about that Jesus Christ thing? Turn to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. Or you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. I want you to look what Paul says. Now, we've established that the gospel is the good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life. He was born of a virgin. He gave His life in place of me. He gave His life in place of you. It said that He took our sins and nailed them to His cross. That's what happened on the cross when Jesus Christ was dying, is that my sin and the sin of the world was placed on Him. That's the gospel. And that if you will put your faith and trust in Him, that He will save you, and then you will have eternal life and salvation with God. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You want to know what gospel is? That's it. That Jesus is the Savior of the world. Look what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If any man will come and say that there's another way of getting to heaven except Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That means let his life be set aside to be killed. And to have no part with God. That's what accursed means. So anybody that will tell you that they found a way into heaven besides Jesus Christ, it's a lie. And that person is destined for hell unless they change and unless they invite Jesus Christ into their life. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. There's one. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator. We need a mediator, don't we? Huh? Because we can't talk to God. I can't talk to God directly. You know what? Because even though I've accepted Jesus, I still have a sinful nature. I'm still prone to sin. We all are. And so in this body that we occupy right now, we can't talk to God directly. But I have a mediator who gave his life for me. The Bible says, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus went through any and every temptation that I will ever face in my life. And so when I pray, Jesus says, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been in that situation before. And then He can turn and He goes to the Father on my behalf. Just takes one. Takes one Savior. And that is Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Samuel real quick. 1 Samuel. It just takes one. 1 Samuel chapter 20. It'll be in verse 3. It takes one sin to separate you from God. It takes one Savior to save you. The only Savior that can save you, which is Jesus Christ. And one step can determine where you spend eternity. One step. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. It says, and David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, there is a step between me and death. To give you a little background here, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Said he was the apple of God's eye. God loved David. God blessed David. God had made a man named Saul, king of Israel. Saul chose to disobey God. And so God said, I'm going to take the kingdom of Israel away from Saul and I'm going to give it to David. And from that point on, Saul started chasing David. Saul looked for every opportunity that he could to kill David. And this is what David is telling Jonathan right now. Hey, Saul is after me so bad that the next step that I take could be the step that I die. Can I tell you something? The very next step that you take might be the one that's the last one you take on this earth. David said, there's just a step between me and death. And that's true. It says, no man know the day of the hour. It says, what is life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. We don't know how long we're going to live. But can I tell you something? Satan is pursuing you just like Saul pursued David. Because there is nothing more, lost friend, that Satan wants is to take you out of this world before you accept Jesus Christ. That's how Satan hurts God. Do you understand that? That's what Satan is doing. Is he don't care about me and you. He cares about bringing pain to God. He cares about hurting God. And man, and God loves you so much, and Satan knows that, is that if you leave this world lost and you die and go to hell, that hurts God. That hurts God. Because he never intended for you to go to hell. He never intended for any of us to go to hell. And I thank God that he made a way that I didn't have to go to hell. I thank God for that. Just that right there ought to have me shouting and running up and down the aisles every time I come in here. Just that right there. But one step. That's how quick it can be over with. But you know what? You take that one step and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you won't have to worry about that anymore. You don't have to worry about Satan coming after you anymore. Because you know what? You take that first step, you accept Jesus Christ, and then man, start building your faith. Now you start getting in the Word. And now you start getting around people that love you. Around Christians that want to see you grow. Man, they ain't nothing better than to see a Christian grow. They ain't nothing better than to see somebody come in and say, you know what, I was studying about this. And I didn't quite understand this. What do you think? Man, that blesses my heart to know that somebody is sitting and studying the Word saying, you know what, when I go out in the world, I want to be prepared. When I go out in the world and Satan starts throwing the fiery darts, I want to be prepared. Because how do we fight them? We fight them with God's Word. You send your boys out on them trucks, they're preparing, aren't they? Most of them anyway. Why? Because you want them to do the best jobs possible, right? It's the same way with us. That's why God wants us to study His Word. Because we need to be knowledgeable about the Word when we go out and we encounter somebody who is lost. Or we encounter somebody that says, well, I heard The View say this. Or I heard CNN say this. I don't think what you got going on, I don't think that's the only way. Okay, well, John 14:6, which is the... says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's up to you whether or not you want to believe it or not. You have every right to be wrong. It is. You have every right to be wrong if you want to. People who are Christians just figured out. Let me tell you something. Let's make this real simple. God ain't going to lose. Okay? I've read the back of the book. God created all of it. He ain't going to lose. So now which side do you want to be on? You want to be on the losing side? Be on the winning side. It's easy. Just that one step. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. I want to show you what one step does. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus had put his disciples on a boat. Hey, you take off on this boat right here. I'll meet you over yonder. Take off. They get in the boat. All of a sudden, big storm comes. Now look. Thing you need to understand, they're not on a Carnival luxury liner here. Okay? They're not on the USS Intrepid. On a little wooden boat. Big storm comes on this sea. Okay, we're not talking about East Lynn Lake here. Okay, we're not talking about out at Beach Fork. All right? We're talking about, like, you get out in the middle of this sea and you can't see land. Waves everywhere. A lot of people died back then like that. Fishermen would be out. Storms come up. Toss the boat. They get thrown over. They die. So we got 12 guys in this boat scared plumb to death that they're going to die. And all of a sudden they look out. I think the moon must have been shining somewhere. Because they can see a little silhouette of a guy that he's walking. I'm sure. Hey, that guy's walking toward. Wait a minute. That can't be right. That's water. I mean, that's Jesus. He's walking on water in the midst of this storm. It wasn't calm. He's walking on the water in the midst of this storm. And all of a sudden, Peter said, Lord, if it be thy will, bid me come unto thee. That's the attitude that we got to have. I wish I lived my life like that, that every waking minute, regardless of whether or not the seas are calm, regardless of whether or not they're choppy, regardless of whether or not there's 10-foot waves or not, that I could always look and say, Lord, if it be your will, bid me come to you. I don't care what's going on around me. Man, I just want to be right here where you want me to be. You know what Jesus says? In the middle of this storm, he's standing out on the water. Come on. Hey, get down out of there and come on. You know what Peter had to do? Now, he's sitting in this boat, right? You know what he had to do? He had to take that first step. Now, we're talking about a man that's getting ready to walk on water. I don't know if anybody in here has ever tried to walk on water or not, but it don't work out too good. Here's a man that's getting ready to walk on water. But you know what he had to do when Jesus said, come? He had to have enough faith to say, you know what? If I'll get out of this boat, he'll take care of me. Man, he's taking care of me. Man, he's taking care of me and my family. He's blessed me and my family when I didn't deserve it. He's taking care of my son through multiple surgeries. He's taking care of my kids when they go to school. He's taking care of my wife when she drives all over Wayne County. He takes care of me. All I had to do was just take that first step out of the boat. You know, because logic would tell you, man, in the storm, you need to stay inside that boat. And that's what Satan will tell you this morning, lost. Hey, you know what? You're in a real comfortable boat right now. Don't get out of that boat. That's what Satan will tell you. Don't take that first step because it ain't going to work. But you know what Peter did? Peter took that first step. And you know what? Climbed right out there and he started walking on the water. And you know what? As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, man, he walked on that water just the same as Jesus did. But the first thing that he had to do, he had to have enough faith in Jesus that he would, man, just take that one step over the boat. I know you're going to take care of me. If you take that one step this morning, he'll take care of you. It just takes one. Look, and I know what's going on right now. I know what's going on right now. Satan's sitting there talking to you. Do not listen to him. Did he do that to you, John? Brother Mike, did he do that to you? He did that to you, didn't he, Sister Armilda? He did that to every one of us. Just stay right there where you are. You're in that boat. You're comfortable. You know what? You stay in that boat and you'll die. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Have the faith. You got the faith. You've heard. And it's not because of me. It's God has showed you the gospel. You know. Well, you know what, preacher? I don't understand what all you're talking about. You don't have to understand anything. My kids don't understand how the engine in that truck works. The only thing they know is that gets them from the house to school. They don't understand how it works. You don't have to understand this whole Bible to understand that you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The only thing you got to do, just take that first step. Anybody in here? Is there anybody in here that would say that they're not glad that they didn't take that first step? Nobody. After you take that first one, I doubt very seriously if you remember the rest of them. One sin will separate you. There's one Savior that can take that sin away. Exercise the faith that God's given you. Take that first step, and I promise you, you will never, ever regret taking that first step to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't worry about what Satan says, because Satan will tell you, oh, you know what, but if you do that, wait until Monday when you go to work. Hey, look, it's not about Monday. It's about now. Because we're all a step away. And death is just a step away. There's a step away between me and death. There's a step away between every one of us and death. We're not guaranteed to make it down to Kentucky Fried Chicken when this service is over with. We're not guaranteed to make it to the house. I'm not guaranteed to make it to that back door right there. Don't let Satan put that in your mind. Well, what are your friends going to say? Because I hear, man, heard Brother Greg. That was something that he was worried about. Man, if I get saved, I'm going to go to work and I know they're going to chew on me and I don't know what I'm going to tell you. He goes to work. He said, I don't even say nothing to him. But that's a change that God makes in your life. You know what? He got past that. He didn't worry about Monday. He didn't worry about Tuesday. He was worried about now. Where's your heart with God right now? Use the faith that He's given you. Step out and accept Him as your personal Savior. As we stand and as they get a song, would you come this morning?